at the end of it, it credited out. I was still really bummed, but like all the emotions were out, and I was just so thankful that I had a partner that understood me and didn't just like dismiss me or write me off as just some overly emotional person.
By the way, I wanted to, not to lie, but you were wearing a Halloween costume and you looked hilarious.
It was hilarious.
You looked hilarious, and it was so goddamn funny. Like on one, you have to understand, like in my head, like I'm like you, right? I can see the funny thing, and then I can see the what's going on.
And I ripped off my Halloween costume.
No, so she strips like basically naked into her bra and panties, and like
while I'm screaming,
while she's
crying,
screaming and moshing all over the fucking place, and I'm like, well, first of all, she looks great. Like this is great.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You.
What's up? I am the Crypto King.
I am Nikki Limo.
And oh, by the way, if you want to support our show, it very much helps if you check out our Patreon.
Patreon.com/sticky, S-T-I-K-K-I.
We do so much on there. You can access this show a day early. We
do live streams. We do Crypto Corner, which
Crypto
is
Corner every Tuesday night at usually Tuesday night. I would say just about every, I've done a year and a half now, Tuesday night at 7 p.m.
And we do free roll poker tournaments with cash prizes.
Yes, we do.
So check it out. The Discord server is amazing. We have so many different topics, so many cool people, and it really helps the show. So, Steve, what are we talking about?
So today we are talking about, so very often we take questions from people about relationships.
From you guys. And yeah, the number one topic that gets submitted is relationships.
It's always relationships.
Unquestionable.
Yeah.
We always say, ask us anything, but it's usually about
relationships.
Yeah.
And we understand many of you are of the age where it's like, man,
yeah,
relationship stuff, that's not easy, right?
I even know people that are our age and older that struggle with relationships.
Big
so,
time.
I mean, there's no manual to relationships. So
there's no experts at relationships, in my opinion.
Totally get
it. There's no one who's like, I know everything. It's
no.
Like, dude.
But it's just like, we love sharing shit that we've had to go through that we found works. Like, we went through an issue, we relate to your issue, and then we're like, oh, I figured out what solved that, and it actually worked for us. And it, maybe it won't work for you. We don't know. We'll just share the experience, some shit they don't tell you.
Yes.
And if it helps you, we really hope it does. And if it does, great. And if it doesn't, move on to the next.
So we're going to be answering popular relationship questions today.
Okay.
So this first question.
If you have these relationship questions, you're not alone.
Exactly. And I thought this was a really good question. This is from Reddit. Many of these will be. This is best questions to ask / things to learn about someone in the first few months of a relationship.
Oh, okay.
This person's kind of methodical, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought this was really interesting.
It helps to narrow it down so you don't waste time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, I'm dating someone. It's going really well. I think we could be a potential great long-term relationship. We've been dating for 3 months. We're exclusive and official. I really like their company. I'm pretty confident I could fall in love with them given enough time. They seem equally committed. Who thinks like that? You're right. You're very analytical. And
unless they're meeting another analytical person that's like equally robotic.
So they say, while/before I fall head over heels, I'd like to make sure we're genuinely compatible and that I know and understand them well. What questions
maybe he has a history of getting infatuated.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a he or she.
Okay. Well, maybe they have a history of getting infatuated too fast, and now they have created like a system.
Right. And this question, by the way, was a hit. Like, people really like this question. But they're like, you know, I just want to make sure we're really compatible, know and understand them well. And I think that people who listen to the show maybe do that because they want a relationship that's similar to ours. And so they're trying to suss out if that's going to happen.
I think that's fair.
So they say, what questions would you ask to get to know someone you're in an early relationship with? Like, if you're just sitting there shooting the shit, what questions would you ask to suss out compatibility?
I think what you really want to look at is like if your core values are the same, the way you look at life is the same. So questions along that vein, like I would want to know like what's like your ultimate dream? Like what did you want to do when you were a kid, and what do you want to do now? Like, what's your if money wasn't a thing, if like there were no obstacles in life, like what would you be doing, dream life, career?
Yeah,
or whatever.
What's your answer to that?
Yeah.
For me, I want to use in some way, very down the road, use DeFi to help solve the student loan crisis.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
Very down the road.
I think answers can always change as long as like the basis is the same, you know? So like when I was a kid, I was always acting. I want to be an actor. I want to, but the reason is like, I felt like that was the most fun. I got the most joy out of it. And I felt like it helped me connect to people more. Like I would see characters that I relate to and I would feel less alone. And so I wanted to play characters and help other people feel less alone and like help them laugh and change their day in a positive way. Because that's what TV did to me. I was very lonely and I like watched a lot of TV and just felt like very connected in that way.
Love that.
Wait, pause really quick. You have like a glitter in your nose.
Really?
And I keep looking at it.
I was snorting cocaine.
You were snorting a stripper's breast.
I had stripper titties in my face.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. As long as you weren't doing meth.
That's the hard line for Nikki.
I draw a line.
No meth.
Cocaine is okay. Fine, that was fine. Clean cocaine. Okay, wait. Stripper titties.
No meth.
But no meth. I've just lost too many people to meth and just can't deal with it.
What would you say is like, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's really good. Like, I think even more primal things than that, too.
Not only that, but like, I would like to know, like, what they do to inch toward that, like, on a daily basis. Yeah. You know, like, if they really want something, like, do they go after it? Do they actually, like, take action towards it? Or do they just kind of talk about it?
That's big.
Because that's huge for me. And then also, I think it's important to know like what you care about most in a partner, because I was actually surprised at how different people's answers are, because I really can't be with someone boring that doesn't make me laugh. Like you have to be able, like we have to have the same sense of humor. It's so important to me that I've definitely broken up with really good people that I they're not funny.
Good. So I hope you broke their heart. I hope you broke their fucking heart.
I didn't. I felt so bad because they were so nice, but I just knew like I just need someone that I belly laugh with, and that even if it's like not them making me laugh, it's like we watch something and like we have the same sense of humor and we like belly laugh from it.
I can look at you from across a fucking entire room of people with music playing,
yeah,
and we'll laugh at the same thing.
And some people don't need that. Some people are like don't need that at all. Some people it's more like about money security. Yeah. Some people are more about like the passion, the sex. Yes. You know, yes.
That's it's not like that for us. We don't need.
If that was a deal breaker,
please.
Put it over a line. Bitch. Love languages are important.
Something that I connected recently with a neighbor over that I always forget, because again, you and me are very compatible.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, I wish I could. I want a vacation with you. As I was like, it's not a vacation to me unless there's a beach there. And then neighbor's like, I wish my wife thought that. Because it's like,
yeah. Well, I know a couple that they love to travel.
Yeah.
Like both of them agree on that. But one really likes the cities, like loves to explore cities, loves to like explore food in cities and all like crowded big buildings, crowded places.
I'm thumbs down.
And the wife likes beaches, tropical. She just wants to like relax, like doesn't want to go anywhere.
God forbid,
like,
on a vacation, we don't have a plan.
Exactly. So I would relate hard to, we relate hard to the wife character in this couple, but I can understand, you know, people that like the city, I can understand it, just can't relate to it. And so when they travel, like they both love traveling, but then they always fight over where to go. So they have to compromise on that. I don't think that's a deal breaker, but like.
But imagine.
Yeah.
We save up and we're going on vacation and then like half of it's for you, half of it's for me.
Exactly.
I hate that already at the jump. And if I'm really being this zoomed out, which by the way, very convenient a position to be in. Mm. You never get to be this zoomed out when you're falling in love with somebody.
Yeah.
Like it sometimes like you just fall in love with somebody.
What are deal breakers for you?
Honestly, okay. This is weird. This is definitely weird.
Okay.
But like the way that, Nikki was on the floor earlier and like I came up to her and kissed her on the forehead and she's like, ew, you kissed my sweaty head, because she just got on the treadmill.
Yeah,
Nikki's pheromones are like fucking bomb for me personally.
Yeah.
And I've been with women where there was something about that mm-hmm. just didn't click for me, and like the
chemistry.
It's not like they smell bad or they didn't wear deodorant. It's like that.
So
it's
there has to be this balance of chemistry and compatibility. Yes. And sometimes people get too wrapped up in one or the other.
Yes.
Like the sex is really good and the chemistry is really good, but then they're not really compatible.
Yes.
Like they don't see life the same way and all this stuff.
Like post sex, what are you gonna do?
They're really compatible. They can come up with a game plan for how to financially like plan their life and be secure, and like they agree on a lot of things, but they don't have any chemistry.
Exactly.
Or like they don't like have any passion or anything. But if you can find that balance, it's really great.
Yes.
I think that, yeah, deal breaker wise, definitely I didn't, no drugs, like,
yeah,
kind of half serious with the meth thing.
I know.
Where, not that I thought you would do meth, but like
I would never touch drugs.
I've definitely like crushed on some people and then found out they did drugs, and I'm not judging people that do drugs. I'm very like live and let live, but I just have been around too many drug addicts and had that in my life too much that like it's just too painful to like be with that. Like I would like you to get help if you have a problem, but also like I just can't get, I can't give you my energy. Like it's just too,
for as much as I love to question things, unfortunately or fortunately for my cool factor, which is pretty low, the DARE program worked on me really well.
Me too.
When I was a kid. And
or there was this, what is that website called? I've tried to think of it on the website. Omar, we were talking about drugs before. There was this website, because at one point I wanted to try every drug. I didn't see the downside.
That's
like,
funny.
I was like, okay, DARE, whatever. Like, I was wrong. The DARE program did not work very well on me. It was later, this website was like, probably what the DARE program should have done, but it basically is a forum. It starts with an E. I wish I could remember what it's called. You guys let me know in the comments if you've heard of it. But basically it's people that have tried drugs, like various drugs. You can look up any drug. Like you could look up literally any new pill that comes out, like any drug, mushrooms, LSD, coke. And there are just stories and stories and stories of people having extremely bad experiences with it and like fucking themselves up permanently and like all this stuff. And I poured through their stories, like one by one, checked out, like, I don't want to try this drug anymore.
Right.
Like, because I really wanted to try shrooms when I was a kid, because I watched the Brady Bunch movie and he accidentally puts magic mushrooms in his spaghetti and he starts seeing like cartoons and stuff.
That'd
and I was
fun.
Like, that's so fucking sick.
Like Dumbo.
Yeah, exactly. But then, I mean, I don't count hallucinogens as drugs, but I did read a lot of bad stories about mushrooms and
more
LSD.
TBD on it. We'll figure
very
it out.
Very TBD. I'm actually TBD. More interested in, if I was going to try a hallucinogen, DMT is probably the one
same.
That I would want to try. But I heard it's really
Joe
intense.
Rogan. Yeah, exactly.
So
you can't pitch something better than, it's like being fired out of a spiritual cannon.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the best pitch ever. I'm always into good pitches.
Yeah.
I love a quick pitch. Okay. So, yeah, that and like...
And responsibility. Like, I've just been with too many people that aren't responsible. Like, they don't...
They're going to do what
they say. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you say something and then you don't follow through and you do that consistently over and over and over again, it creates trust issues.
It erodes trust.
Yeah.
For me, too, another thing. You know, when me and Nikki first got together, we've talked about this before, but... There was like a moment where you moved in with me and I was making like more money than you and stuff. And like you needed to move in with me because like your place was infested with flies.
Yeah.
And like we had kitties and like I was just like chilling at this like bachelor pad. Like,
yeah.
And that's like putting it,
it
nicely.
It was like a really
that's
gross
putting it really
bachelor
nicely.
Pad. It wasn't like a swanky.
No.
Like he has like leather. Well, he did have leather couches, but it
Google
was like.
If you Google bachelor pad, that's not what I had.
Nope.
Was, I had like empty room with like
furniture. He had like
furniture.
Fluorescent lighting with nothing on the walls. It was like a serial killer vibe in there for reals. And he had an air mattress with one sweat stained pillow on it. I know he doesn't like all my pillows, but.
Above ground though. It was,
an above ground air mattress.
Thank you. You always leave that part out.
There's
it was
no,
3.5
no
foot
comforter, up. No sheets, just a blanket that looks like this, like, but it was white and kind of stained. we still have that blanket somewhere.
We do. It's great. It's a great blanket.
But yeah, and I was like, yeah, this is the guy.
This is my man.
This is my soulmate.
My dream man. I wrote about my diary.
Mm-hmm. I did do that. So obviously that wasn't a deal breaker for me.
No, it wasn't. But no.
Yeah, you were making more money than me.
I was making more money than you, but the coolest thing ever was when you moved in with me. I was like, hey, look, the rent's cheap here. We'll split that and I'll take care of everything else. Like, no problem. And that wasn't going to make you sit at home and just chill. Mm-hmm. Like, you already knew what you wanted to do. And I knew that. Like,
yeah.
But then I got to see it in action. Like, you were never going to chill. Like, you were already working on your dreams. Like,
well, you found me at a rare moment where I had always made more money than all of my boyfriends. And I was always the one that paid for everything because they were in and out of jobs, and like they would say we can't go out because they couldn't afford it, and I would be like, I want to go out, so I'll just pay for it, you know. So I got really used to like being the one with money, and I think subconsciously it was because like my dad kind of like got to control everything because he's the one that made the money. Yeah. And so I didn't like being under that control, so I always was, since I was like 9, was out to make my own money, and I booked modeling jobs when I was like a kid, and I had a savings account with hundreds of dollars in it.
You
and
know I, what? Credit your parents, because I just hung out with them.
Yeah,
they taught you that.
Like, they did.
They
yeah.
showed you that if you're gonna make money now, if you want to buy something, you made money, so you have to spend your money.
Exactly.
And that's an invaluable tool.
Absolutely. Like, looking back now, I'm so happy for that, because I was so jealous of my friends whose parents would just give them money to go shopping or whatever. I had to always make my own money for that. I never wanted a guy to have any sort of control where I pay for everything, so you owe me or whatever, like, or I felt obligated to them. Like,
the idea of that makes me cringe.
I know. Yeah. So when guys are like, girls only want you for your money, I'm like, never. Dude. Like, literally never. I mean, I'm not invalidating you. Maybe there are a lot of girls out there that do that. I don't know.
No, look, I believe in generalizing billions of people. I really do. I think it's a great idea. I think it's really smart.
But you caught me at a rare moment where I was laid off of my restaurant job and was, you know, auditioning a lot, but hadn't like booked anything yet. And I booked a show on YouTube that was starting to pay me like a couple $100 a week.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I have like a little tiny bit of money, but like not really any money. And I'd never had that in my entire life. I'd always had a job or 2-3 jobs. And
you're the easiest person I ever bet on. I'll tell you that. Easiest
person.
But
I never forgot that. I was like, I felt so vulnerable, like having someone paying for dinners or groceries or whatever, and I made sure that didn't last very long.
But it wasn't out of me pestering you.
No, I was actually really thankful and was so like, it swept me off my feet because I'd never had anyone do that for me, to be honest.
Well, you deserved it, first of all. You had a bad string of luck, but it was also like one of these weird things where, like, you know, just a few short years later, you'd be repaying the favor. So. Because my YouTube channel gets demonetized and I'm like, holy shit, shortfall, express, the fuck's going on? Because, like, you know, I was working like weird jobs at the time, because like it's all about what you book and what you don't book. And okay, I sold this movie, but you don't get paid for like 11 months.
Yeah.
So it's just the most confusing shit. But the fact that we both, you know, you doing that for me, and even though I was like, hey, look, I just want you to be very aware of something. This will never happen again. But it was like 11 months of like me, probably the darkest time of my life.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
For sure. You saw that.
Yeah.
But it was like, I have no control over this situation. Like, insofar as like, I am owed a lot of money, but I am not being paid it.
Yeah.
And this is like, it felt fucking awful. Right?
Yeah.
It just felt awful. But going through that with you, I just knew that you were a writer. And like I already knew that I wanted to write with you.
Yeah.
But like that, I think had to happen for me to give you part of me too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think maybe that is the answer to the question, is that you can't like create a form that like makes you sure that you found the right one, like a guarantee, because a lot of this like will happen through the conflict that you guys endure together
and how you both
manage it together as a team. Like, or do you fight over it? Does it, it'll either bring you together or it'll rip you apart.
Yes.
And the sooner you can find that out, the better. So actually, I always think it's better to move in with each other quicker.
See what you're made of.
Because as soon, like, it'll speed up the process.
It's like a startup.
Realize that you're meant to be together forever, or you'll realize that you cannot live with this person.
Yes. But I am a very prideful person. And so I think that the idea of not being vulnerable to you was something that I felt was like making me into more of a man.
Yeah.
But it made me actually, I think, embrace you.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a way that I don't think I was capable of before.
Yeah.
Because I had to be vulnerable with you during that time. And it's like it sucks when it's like, you know, this prideful bullshit where it's like, I am owed X.
Yeah.
But it's not being provided to me.
Right.
So then it's like, you know, you have to almost like as a man go like, hey, I have a bunch of IOUs.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean?
It's
and like,
kind of like you're calling in a favor, yeah, you feel like.
And it feels like that. You've yeah. never made me feel like
no,
that.
No.
But it was just
you
like,
never made me feel like that either.
I know. But okay. Yeah, good. Good.
Yeah, like during the beginning.
I never thought I did, but no, it's good to hear
but
from
I'm
you.
Just saying that like I felt that same way. It yeah. was like I don't like asking for help and I don't like asking for favors because I don't want people to have this like I'm indebted or like feel yeah. like it, I don't mind being indebted to someone if they're not same. Pressuring me, but same. Like but if you start to use that and hold it over me, and so it's like this kind of fear that like, well, I hope that you're not that kind of person, but like because I'm yeah. now opening up and being in a spot that I don't want to be in, but
I'll never ask for help, but I needed help.
Yeah,
so that was the thing. So it was, and it was, and you know, it actually sounds a lot about money here, but it was really emotional. Mm-hmm. It was like really just like emotional.
Is having someone's back, you know, knowing exactly. that your partner has your back
yeah.
and doesn't judge you. Like
exactly.
It's not like neither of us were ever like, you need to get your shit together. You know,
never.
Like it's
we
not like that.
We both knew each other to know enough. The fire was there. Yeah. Like we both knew like, dude, this
swings.
Motherfucker is just going to do it.
And this person's going to be with me during the swings.
Exactly.
And I like we've always been that way. And it makes you trust each other more and more.
But that was just before we got married. And that proved to me rider mode. And I didn't ever question anything.
Yeah.
It actually, because like that's the beauty of a relationship is it grew
yeah.
that love. Like it grew that like much of like that I can lean on you if mm-hmm. I need to. I don't want to, but if I
but
need
you,
to.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do. When my grandfather died, you were right there.
So around that same time.
Exactly. Yeah. So but that's what I mean. Like it was a dark year for sure. But it was so there, you know, I always find beauty in pain
mm-hmm.
eventually. I think pretty quickly, but I saw that really quickly. Like where I was like, man, this is like this person is going to ride with me to the end, like
yeah.
no matter the fuck what. Like I love this woman, like no matter what. And it really is like I know people say this a lot, but I really do have like unconditional love for you.
Same.
Like soul level.
Do you think in the beginning, like, is there something that you could like kind of like a like you know like there's red flags? It's like okay, like don't avoid this stuff if
yeah.
you see it in a person. But are there like green flags?
Hey, nice. Hey, good branding.
Thank you. Are there like, oh.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
What would you describe as a green flag?
Well, it was pretty quick to me early on that just the idea of hanging out with you is something I looked forward to.
Yeah.
And I looked forward to it like so much that it basically like completely rose out of like the clouds. And like,
yeah.
it was like, I want to get back to the sun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's how it is to this day.
Same. A couple of things. One, you responded immediately to my texts, which like,
oh, yeah.
I know it sounds like not a big deal.
No games.
But for fucking whatever reason, I had never dated a person that would fucking text me back right away. Like they just like, why is it a game like where you like have to wait a certain amount of time?
Rule.
So fucking annoying.
I'm a cool guy. It's
exactly.
so fucking annoying. Oh, you better be a cool guy the whole time then, dude. You better be consistent. If
so
you're
you
gonna
always
project
have, like,
cool guy here.
Anxiety and like
yeah.
you just made me feel safe from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like where like, oh my gosh, like we can just like have a conversation and like
yeah.
he gets back to me right away. It's so cool. Or like we make plans and like he responds right away. And then like
oh,
when,
another thing too.
Yeah.
Unless are you
oh I was just gonna say and the Ralph's gift card thing we've talked about this before on episodes
yeah.
but on our first day he slipped a Ralph's gift card. Ralph's is a grocery store here in California. I had talked about I was stealing food from the Crafty. It's on set food that we were on a sketch, and I was like putting chips into my bag because I just didn't know if I was ever gonna eat dinner. And so I told Steve, like, I'm just too poor to buy groceries right
yeah.
now.
And you, it was a joke. She wasn't like
yeah.
trying to fucking cry.
Oh, no, no,
to
no.
me.
I was just joking. Like, I was like, you didn't see anything, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it was a joke, but it was enough where I
there was some truth
could
in
analyze
it.
The situation and go, okay, well.
And so he gave me a Ralph's gift card on our first date, or he slipped it in my bag, like, oh, you dropped this. And it was so thoughtful. that he went to Ralph's before the date, like wrote in this card. I just, the level of thoughtfulness, I had never like experienced that.
Yeah, I really honestly, you know, I remember the moment that I was like, man, I love this woman, but I honestly think it was like there already.
Yeah, it must have been, because we hadn't even gone on a date yet. Like, we really connected on our first date, like right after my friend was like, how did it go? And I was like, do you want steak or chicken at the wedding? Because I'm gonna marry this man.
He's setting us up on that little pre-date.
Yeah, and he told me that it wasn't going to be a real serious relationship. I was like, well, then don't do it, because I want to seriously date this man.
Well, he
man,
didn't pre-interview so. Me well, because I was, or I was playing it cool or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm a shithead sometimes, but
he's like, he'll probably be into like hooking up. I'm like, no,
that's not me though.
I know it's not you, that's not me. But it was right after a breakup that you had, and I was like, I don't want to be the rebound.
Yeah.
Like, I know how I'm perceived, but I'm really not like that. Like, because at that time, I was on Totally Sketch, which was a comedy channel. And as much as I told Michael a lot that I didn't want to be that role, like, that was just, I get it.
It was your type.
I was, like, typecast into that for a long time. Like, even by my agent and
still
my manager. Like,
store.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But no matter what I did, I knew I wasn't going to convince anyone I wasn't that type. So I was just like, I would kind of go along with it sometimes. But I was like, I'm really not that type at all. Like, I'm really like super sentimental, like super romantic, like super fucking long-term committed relationship
and
person.
And you're loyal. And that's what I wanted to get to. So one of the things that, if you're going to ask this question of people, or this is the kind of disingenuous part of this analytical.
Because you can't like just ask someone, are you a loyal person? Obviously, they're going to say yes.
It's got to show up in the paint, right?
Yeah.
So early on, I remember there was somebody who I had worked with who you were at a dinner with,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking shit about me,
mm-hmm.
and you fucking eviscerated them.
Yeah.
And hearing about that from you was so foreign to what I had experienced in relationships sure. prior to that, where, like, you know, my girlfriend would like shit talk me to people, like about whatever, like getting off her chest, whatever.
That's all I had ever
heard. Go to therapy then. Like,
I actually didn't really.
Don't address it to me, just address it to everybody else.
I didn't really want to get to know you in the first like year or two when we were working together because of all of the, like, just all the shit talking that I heard. Like, I just had the worst painted picture of you.
Couldn't have been more surprised, by the way, to find that out. Because, you know, I would have her back to anybody with razor blades on my elbows. Like, I was ready to fucking
every time you
go.
Talked about her, which I didn't get to actually spend time with you enough to hear you talk about her until, like, years later.
Yeah. And all is forgiven. This is all
Water all in the past, bridge.
It doesn't matter.
This is
but
like,
it's just going through that in that moment, it was so foreign to what I had experienced. And even my buddy Richard at the time, he's still my buddy, but, he was like, dude, I never heard you say one bad word about that girl. Like, never one bad word.
No.
And that's how I am, motherfucker. Like, I am a loyal ass bitch.
Yeah.
I will have your back to the fucking tits.
That's why I was like, when I wrote in my journal about you, I wanted to find someone like you because of how you treated her. I just thought you were like exactly what I would want in a boyfriend, but I never thought you guys were gonna break up. Like, I was like, I didn't even think of you being the guy, because in my mind, you guys were already like married because of how you spoke about her. Was like, and what I liked about you was how loyal you were, that I would never like want you guys to break
up.
It's
never gonna happen,
but then I didn't know how bad it was until way later. But
I didn't either until towards the end. It happens.
So like,
it's all water on the bridge. It really is. But I'm just trying to be transparent for people who are going through shit as well.
Well, I'm just trying to say that, to answer the question, I created a list of like things I was looking for, and you were my muse of like, well, this is what I've seen, and so I know it's out there that a boyfriend can treat their girlfriend like this, and here are the things that I really like about that, and so I want to find someone that has these qualities, and it was based off of you and the way you treated your girlfriend at the time. And so, yeah, like, I think that it's such a person-dependent question. Like, find the things that you really love about other relationships or couples, or that you would want in your life, and like what, like really get specific on what maybe those things are.
Yes.
And then you'll know what to look for when you're sitting down with someone. But I don't think there's one generic thing to ask people.
This might be dumb.
Yeah.
Please tell me if it's dumb. I really believe this. I got in an argument with a friend of mine.
This is dumb. I'm just kidding.
I shouldn't do that. See?
Go ahead.
No, but I got into an argument with a friend of mine a couple years ago about just you know, unfortunate word, but chivalry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just get in the door and like it's polite and like pay for dinner and all that stuff, right? Like I just thought that that's like, I thought that that's good. And then my friend was like, tell me, like, who cares? Like, it, and like, and it was just like a bunch of who cares, like, whatever.
Friend,
like,
male or female?
Male.
Okay.
You know them.
Okay.
And I just was very much sticking up for like, no, look, it's about respect, and it's a swing both ways thing. Like, if you have a daughter, I'm going to tell the daughter to expect this, and
that's what my dad told me.
And it's about receiving respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, oh, he's got to get the door for you because you can't get the fucking door. It's about receiving respect and demanding respect.
Yeah,
it's about having a baseline, right? And like, you know, like I believe that a man has to know his own limitations, right? Like, I also believe that a woman has to know, like, her standards.
Yeah,
and has to stand up for her standards,
mm-hmm.
and like it's. And, you know, you guys do a great job of training us. Trust me, my mother and my sister did that for me growing up. But it just used to infuriate me to no end that I would have to explain, like, no, why opening a door is not like, I don't think you can open a door. It's just out of respect.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like, I'm like, you don't think I could get my own door.
Exactly.
But then I also do think like it then needs to be reciprocated. Like you open the door for someone, they don't say thank you. Or like they, you know, like you pay for dinner, they don't say thank you. They just expect it and like they feel entitled to it. Like I think that there is a back and forth. Like it's like you, kind gesture, welcomed, received, thankfully, you know? And then I give you kind gesture. It's like, I don't know. There needs to be that kind of back and forth. Otherwise, everyone just resents each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, on that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk
popular more relationship about relationship questions. Stuff.
That was just one question.
That's a good one.
We can talk. We should start a podcast.
Oh, we will.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us. Like,
listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout-outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout-out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout-out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Huge. Thank you for supporting the show. And welcome back.
So on the break, I was talking about how, like, it was kind of all over the place because it's kind of a complex question. And I was wondering, like, because this is such a popular question on Reddit, like, what are people in the answers saying that are, like, what are people liking?
So the most popular upvote is from Smoky Toasters.
Smoky Toasters, okay.
Which is a great fucking username.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not going to lie, this is a fantastic question. One truly designed for this subreddit, which is Reddit Dating Over 30.
Oh, okay.
They say, here's my take. I don't necessarily ask specific questions, but I try to engage topics through conversation. We all know the holy trinity of taboo topics, politics, religion, and money. But for me, these points shed light into who they are and how they would fit into my life. Typically, I'll share some detail of each topic and how it relates to myself and discuss the responses. With politics, I listen to how they comment on current events and policy change and look for commonalities or conflicts. I'm not religious at all, and while others with religion don't bother me, I listen to their own desires for faith and converse about how my beliefs might impact them. Money is my biggest concern of the three. Oh, shit.
Okay.
Have I seen evidence that indicates this person is responsible with money? I might share with them a bit about how I plan for the future financially, and typically they will share their plan in response. Of course, sex is also a big one. You can't talk about it. While talking about it first at first helps. That's the first one you got to feel out. That's a fact.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm getting at is if you share what's important to you first, you can.
I wasn't sure the first time we had sex. Because
yeah, I know.
Steve was really nervous, so it didn't really happen. Like,
yeah.
But what I thought happened was not like the real version of it. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I've talked about this.
We were like so compatible, so in love. And then like sex isn't good. And I was like, I don't know if I can do it because I can't like marry somebody and like never have sex again or whatever. So I was like, I was kind of like freaking out. I was like, this is my soulmate, but like we just did not connect sexually.
So for context, this was like 9 days after me and my ex had broken up.
Yeah.
It was very raw for me.
Because it's the first woman that you've been with
for over four years. Over 4 years.
Yeah.
And it felt like almost 5 years. Yeah. And it was like, you know, and I'm a loyal ass bitch. Yeah. So I just, my body was betraying my mind. And, but
meanwhile, I was coming off my hoe face. So I was like, I deal with dicks all the time.
Actually. No, I had, after that night, I was like, all right, bro, let's get it together. What the fuck, right?
Yeah.
But I had to, you know, it was a very weird emotional time. We had a very fast courtship, if you will. But the next time is when me and Nikki, you know, we were compatible.
It was completely different. It was like night and day.
Yeah.
The next day was like so mind blown. I was like, I would never use the term making love to describe sex, but there was no other way to describe it.
Yeah.
I was like, that shit was magical.
It was beautiful. It really was.
Completely different.
I'll never forget
a 180.
It.
So give people second chances, you know, maybe like the first one.
That's true, because that can happen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, shy dick syndrome, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you just never know.
I just didn't know. I also, like, I had never been with a grower before.
Oh.
So I didn't know, like, how big it was. Yeah, I was like, huh, like, I heard he had a big dick, but it didn't, like, wasn't that big. I was not prepared for the second time.
You still aren't.
Still aren't. Never am.
Still, never am. Story of my life.
But yeah, you know, I agree with the politics, religion stuff. Maybe, I don't know about the money. The money
one
just...
It depends on how you prioritize it.
But I, more so than, like, needing someone to agree with me, it's more about, like, how compatible will we be? Are you too headstrong to accept me as a person if we disagree?
Yes.
Because more about that.
That happens a lot, too.
Yeah.
Because I need that malleability.
Yeah.
I need to, like what we just did with the conspiracy episode.
Yeah.
I need to just explore things for fun with you. Like with no judgment, just for funsies. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see where we maybe stand. But if you can't explore it before you stick your stake in the ground, you're kind of whack to me. Like I can't
like if
really
your beliefs are
your
too hardened that you've created an identity around it.
I can't hang.
And there's no way from if we disagreed, like you won't even listen to maybe my side or my points, then there's just no room to, because then you just carry that over into other disagreements that aren't religious or politics
and
or whatever.
Bored. I'm bored of it.
Yeah.
Too. It's like if I can't explore things for funsies.
Yeah.
Then how are we going to just talk about some random thing?
I actually get stimulated by someone disagreeing with me.
Me too.
I told Steve this story of like this guy that I had dated a little before. I was like dating for the first time in this little single period. And there was this guy that I really liked. We like had like made out a few times, but he took me on a real date. And I was excited because I was like, well, we'd only like made out in the car a couple times. We didn't like actually go on a real date yet. And I was like getting like courted for the first time. And I was like, that's pretty cool. I've never had that. And then I noticed that like he would just agree with everything I said.
Yeah.
Like and not offer
that.
Like extra
I
bullet points. Because it's okay if we both agree on things. That's fine. But I want to know why you agree. And like you add your own thoughts. And then I go, yeah, that's exactly what, or whatever.
It's not fun.
But he would just let me do the talking and then just go, yeah, I agree.
You're hot. I think you're fucking hot.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, this
is
like.
You're fucking hot. And like hot women make good points.
Then when we ended up, you know, having sex, there was no chemistry at all because I was so not stimulated. I get really stimulated by conversation and humor and like just interesting, like people being interesting, you know, stimulating things. And this guy was just like agreeing with everything I said. And then I was just like, okay, I guess we should hook up because like we've been making out and like it seems like the next step, but like he wanted to cuddle after and I was like not having it. I couldn't even sleep that night because he kept trying to cuddle and I was just like so unattracted that I just wanted him to leave.
I've been there big time.
Sucked.
I've been there pretty fucking big time.
But yeah, even if he had disagreed but told me why he disagreed and we were able to talk about it, that would have been way more fun.
I was with a chick that, I thought she was funny. like I had a couple of interactions with her, like improv wise,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that she was funny, but then, no compatibility in the bedroom whatsoever.
Chemistry.
Yeah, whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like whatsoever.
Yeah.
And yeah, after that, I just completely probably was just cold as a stone.
Yeah.
But it was just like one of those things where I just couldn't get into it.
No. It's just like, you know, afterwards, like, you know, there has to be some kind of chemistry.
Oh, and there was this chick one time too. And this, I, you know, I'm just trying to be transparent.
Yeah.
But there was this chick one time too where I had done an improv show and I like fucking murdered it, right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I murdered.
You're hilarious.
I was killing it, yeah. Dude.
You're getting yes, panties anding. Wet.
I was yes, and then anding.
Yeah. Like, you were anding all over the fucking
room. All over the fucking room, right? So then like there's this girl and she was like, I could tell that her and her friend group was pretty into my shit. And then during dinner, she was definitely the funniest one. So yeah. I always go for that.
Of course.
Always my jam.
Same.
I literally don't care if you're the hotter one.
Same.
Like, I want you to be the funniest
I have
one.
No physical type. It's like purely who makes me laugh the most.
Who's going to make me give me the yuck yucks?
Yeah.
Who's going to give me the toughest time?
Yeah.
Like
Who busts your balls the most?
Who busts my balls
enough? You definitely married that.
Exactly. And no, but exactly. It's like, okay, cool. You can bust my balls, but I'm going to break you in half later.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
yeah.
It, like, it's, I like that.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that.
Poke him into the, like, I just like to poke him until he like completely dominates me.
I'll put you in a fucking wheelchair.
Yeah.
So then, you know, that was happening with her. And then I remember, you know, we had sex that night. And the next morning, I just remember that magic of like the verbal jibe and the riposte.
Yeah.
And like that back and
the
forth.
The banter.
Was gone. She like, it was like there for that night to like get me in.
Yeah.
But then she was all in on Steve Green. And I was like, oh, I don't want you to be all in on Steve Green yet. I'm like not all in yet.
Yeah.
I want you to still be Barbie with me. So like, I'm Barbie, I mean like Barbing with me, right?
Yeah.
Like Barb.
She wanted to be Barbie doll.
I want you to be, no. No. Oh no, I fucked up. No, I want you to like Barb.
To spar.
Yeah, spar with me. I want you to fight with me. I want that spark.
You want a brat.
Yeah, I want that.
You want a freaking whiny brat.
I want my fucking brat. No, I do. That's what I liked about you.
I love that.
Yeah,
it's like there's someone for everyone.
Yeah,
like, but my parents were like, "What a fucking brat!"
Exactly. But that's what I love about Nikki. That's why I call her my kid, and like I call her kiddo.
Yeah,
and I call her my brat. But it's endearing. I love that about her. And you challenge me constantly, and I love that. I need that.
No, I love it too. I love that. It's like I almost like test my limits, and then like you know, you're just like
yeah.
I just feel like you're going to give me a big hug after. It doesn't matter.
You know I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were moshing the other day pretty hard, and you know I'm going
to
be there.
Oh, yeah. That actually meant a lot to me. So I think that one of the biggest things that I've, like, in my long-term relationships, I've had, this is my, I guess my fourth long-term relationship, but I mean, well, definitely the longest, but in previous relationships, I've been told I'm like too intensely emotional, right? And like I do feel emotions like really intensely. And also my dad used to try to get me to not feel emotions that intensely, but it's like I can't help it. It
so
just
is
who I am.
So is my mother.
And it's really frustrating to me because I am self-aware about how intensely emotional it is and I'm trying to stop it, but I literally can't. Like I physically can't. And so I can't logic my way out of feeling those emotions. I can tell you while I'm feeling them and like streaming tears out my eyes, like how illogical it is, but I can't stop the emotions from coming. And so I was always made to feel so bad about it. Like I'm just like this like crazy, I'm like crazy emotional. And it's like it only lasts if you just allow me to have it. Like if you just let me have that intense emotions, it'll last for like 5 minutes.
It's a rainstorm.
And then it's like a monsoon.
It hails.
Yeah. It's like a sudden downpour.
There's pitter patter and you're worried about the roof for a sec, but then when it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone and it's completely calm and like I'm actually like really fun, like happy and like can laugh after, but if I'm trying to suppress it the whole time, it'll last all day, maybe weeks, maybe like whatever, because I'm trying not to like show it. So instead it's just like bottled in there and I'm just angry all the time. But yeah, so like the other night I just told Steve how much I appreciated him because there was a thing that happened where I spilled water all over my computer, and like I was just like everything, I was already having kind of a bad day, and then it like ruined my stream, and like I was trying to stream but then I couldn't even get it going. And then I accidentally misclicked this like tournament I was trying to start playing, and I had just entered it, and it was day two, and like
wild.
It was just like,
and you were looking forward to it all week.
I was all week, and I was like so fucking excited, and then some random shit happened, like the randomest string of events of
so Nikki has two monitors right hooked up. Of all the places she could click when she spilled water, she clicked on
I just lifted the mouse up and it clicked a call, like someone had gone all in, and it clicked call, but I didn't know it called. And then all of a sudden I'm trying to clean up the water and I'm realizing that I'm in this hand, and I'm like, what the fuck, when did that happen? And I'm like, the fucking mouse clicked the fucking button. And so I just lost my shit, and I just... like I was so frustrated.
Yeah, it was wild.
At the string of events that happened, like how random it was. Like I felt gaslit by the universe, and I just couldn't help but just scream. And he comes running up to see what's the matter, and I'm just like so torn up emotionally. And any other guy that I've ever been with would have just been like, you're a fucking psychopath, and just like kind of like left me or shamed me or something. But you just like,
that's not our jam.
You listened to like what happened, and then you were like, oh, that fucking, that's not fair, like, and you held me, and it was just like so everything I needed. And like I just felt so like at the end of it, it cried out. I was still really bummed, but like all the emotions were out, and I was just so thankful that I had a partner that understood me and didn't just like dismiss me or write me off as just some overly emotional person.
By the way, I wanted to, not to lie, but you were wearing a Halloween costume and you looked hilarious.
It was hilarious.
You looked hilarious, and it was so goddamn funny. Like on one, you have to understand, like in my head, like I'm like you, right? I can see the funny thing, and then I can see the what's going on.
And ripped off my Halloween costume.
No, so she strips like basically naked into her bra and panties, and like
while I'm screaming,
while she's
crying,
screaming and moshing all over the fucking place, and I'm like, well, first of all, she looks great. Like this is great. It looks awesome, and she's crying, which she knows I love. And so, but then I was like, no, we can't do that right now. It's all good.
Yeah.
And I didn't laugh. I never laughed once.
No, like before all this happened, I was in a bad mood, and I was already stomping to my office, like in a bad mood, in a Halloween costume. Yes. And I was like, I know it's funny, but don't laugh right now.
She said
don't
that to me in the
right
hallway.
Now.
I won't forget it. It was hilarious. And then later on, that's how I knew how intense it was. All right. Well, you made it very intense. It was very intense.
Yeah, it was very intense.
You made it intense.
It was probably the most extreme, like kind of like the extremist version of like any of like of all the meltdowns.
It was your wildest,
like,
meltdown.
Yeah, it's like it was pretty.
It was your most
primal,
up there.
Yeah,
your most up there.
I was very upset.
But that's okay. But again, that there is no judgment here.
It had nothing to do with Steve. Nothing to do with anything.
No.
It was just I could not get the anger, like the rage hot like anger out of me without like.
So if you're doing a question sitting at a table with somebody and it's like, hey, are you gonna freak out? That's the misnomer about some of this stuff.
Yeah,
right? It's like you gotta like, you know, dial some of that back and just realize it's an emotional experience too. You can be as methodical as you want, but it ain't taxes, dude. This is fucking real life. And like, yeah, how are you going to be the shock absorber? Because sometimes that's what you are. Sometimes that's your job. And just like Nikki was for me in 2015, I was the shock absorber for her. I've been the shock absorber for her whenever she needs me to be. And it's not like I'm taking hits here. It's not abusive.
Well, I've had this conversation before that like you should feel with your partner that you are just as free as you were when you lived alone. Single.
Yes.
Like you're the same authentic version of yourself, and they accept you completely 100%. And they enhance your life, right? And I, of course, don't want Steve to see that side of me. Like I've been
shamed. She's not proud of herself.
I've been shamed enough in my life to know that that is not an acceptable, like.
Yeah, she apologizes.
Like, but where it's like, but that is who I am, and how like I've not yet been successful at dealing with emotions any other way. If I try to suppress them, they end up coming out some other way, or like maybe they come out at you for no reason, whereas at least this way it's like sequestered. But I wish he wasn't there. Like if I was living alone, I wouldn't agree to go meet up with him until way later. He would never see this part of me. I'm a perfect angel baby, and you would never see it.
But
because
that's not the real you.
You live together, you're gonna see the real parts of people, and some of them are ugly, and it's like I've communicated that like this has nothing to do with you. I just have like a storm of emotions that comes out, and if I just cry it out, then it'll go away. But if I, you know,
but you're also a harmless soul. Like, you're not in Hulkbuster armor, fucking yeah. taking our garage roof off, like yeah. with a fucking backhand. You know what I mean? Like, like you are.
I'm like a little hamster.
You're
like
a little tiny woman wearing a Halloween costume who's moshing around the house, and she's not going to do much.
Yeah.
And even like the little part in our hallway that makes like this weird metal sound when you walk on top of it didn't even pop because like you're so tiny, it doesn't fucking matter. So like, but that's what I mean. Like, it's not like you're some crazy. This is abusive, and I'm just like accepting.
Yeah, exactly. It. It's like
this is just separate. You have a process for how to deal with your emotions. I've actually never seen it heightened this much. I've seen degrees of it, obviously, over the years.
Yeah,
but that's just to be real about it, not to be like,
yeah,
you know, I'm not shaming you about it, and I don't think that just because it was like more than it's been, that's bad. It's like, no, that was how you got it out of your system quickly, because you like. Not exaggerating, guys, she was so excited about this day too.
Yeah,
like she was talking about it like all week to me, and like she was just like we making sure that she could plan her day yeah. around
and it was gonna be a Halloween stream, and she was, too exactly, I was gonna stream I mean. It
she was excited for all the Twitch streamers, which by the way, she does a poker show on Twitch.
Yeah, twitch.tv/TrickNick, so you can put the link in the description.
I watch every minute of it. I fucking love it.
It's really fun.
I've learned so much about poker that way, and I'm not interested in even playing poker, but I love watching poker, and I love watching Nikki play poker. Really fun.
Well, I'd already been having so many technical difficulties that day.
Yeah.
And then like Halloween stuff, and I don't remember what happened before, but there was a precursor where I was already in a bad mood, and I was already having like everything just felt like it was going wrong.
Yeah.
Like all day it already felt that way. And then I was trying to pull it together for the stream because I was still excited. I was still like, okay, mm-hmm. well now we're gonna play day two. It's gonna be fine. Like we're gonna start over, reset. It's gonna be fine. And then randomly fucking water spills, and then yeah. it clicks. This it was just like a string of like events that I was like, how the fuck did that happen? And I couldn't deal with the how the fucks, and I couldn't deal with it. It was just like blowing my mind too much that all of that happened all at once. So yeah, I did a primal scream.
Many
primal screams.
I don't know how the picture frame came down, but I suspect it was not you slapping it.
What picture frame?
The one in the hallway right here.
Oh, that's when that came down?
Yeah. That was that.
I didn't realize.
I didn't address it to you, obviously, in the moment, but I was like, whoa. Because I heard a scuffle first.
I threw
first.
A pillow at a wall. Maybe it kind of got rattled a little happened, bit. Yeah. Those picture frames aren't on there very well. So.
No, definitely not.
But anyway, I appreciate it. Because I think that if that happened in the beginning to that degree, I would never like have expected you to deal with it. And I would have been really embarrassed. And like, I mean, I still like get embarrassed, but I don't think that that's something that I should just expect someone to accept right away.
Okay,
right?
But here's my thing, right?
Yeah.
So like, it gets back to like this question thing. It's like, yeah, I could sit there and methodically go through a test about like what I want in a partner, whatever. But I want who I have. I want this loyal ass bitch that I have. And I take her as I get her. And the idea that, oh, if like I wouldn't change a thing about you. And the idea that if only I change this thing, well, I think that would take away from something else. Like you're intense yeah. about me emotionally. Like you're as intense about me. And I see it all the time, shows up all the time, as you are in that hallway beating up that picture frame. So you know what I mean? Like, but about something like that is so random, it's actually like the universe probably laughing at you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
I can't believe how random it is. With all the fucking monitor space you have, you pick up your fucking mouse that's dripping in water.
Yeah.
And you accidentally click, and it clicks all in.
There were like three other windows open, like, and it just happened to be on that
fucking
tournament.
There's so much screen. Like,
yeah.
That is so absurd.
It was
like,
so
it's just
stupid.
The universe needling you, saying,
and then
fuck you.
Me in a Halloween costume.
And it was amazing. But I love that you're intense. Like, I love that about your character, because you're as intense about that as for any friend you've ever
yeah.
had their back. And I've seen you have people's backs that, frankly, the internet will never know about.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen Nikki have people's backs in ways that I don't think anyone will ever know or understand. But my God, this woman will go to the war for you. And she stands up for people. She stands up for the little guy all the time. I've seen it. I've felt it. I've been in the room with it. And it's awesome. So if you're going to love all that. Like the idea that like, oh, on a bad day, you're not throwing lamps at me. Like you're literally just fucking pissed at something that happened to you. It's the fucking most random shit. But like you're not, you know, a monster. Like, you're going through a thing, and this is your process for expelling it. And yeah, you scared some kitties, and you
it
made
would never hurt anyone.
You confused your husband, and you scared some kitties. Yeah. That's it. I remember just standing there. I was probably standing there for like 6 minutes, going, "Babe, you just gotta tell me. You gotta tell me." But you were like hyperventilating.
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Okay." She can't tell me yet.
It was like that was the tipping point. It wasn't just that happened. It was like everything that led up to that. I was like, it was just so frustrating that I couldn't even begin to express like how it all built up. Like,
it was. Again, you show up for your people in those moments. That's when you show up the most. Like, to me, if you're good at it, mm-hmm. like if you really love your person, when it's the hardest, quote unquote, that's when you're supposed to show up the strongest. Like, I really believe that. And so it's a no brainer for me. But again, I have been trained by women through my life. My mother, growing up, cried every day. Oh, and she would hate that she cried. She always felt that it made her weak. Yeah. Right? She always felt that.
It does feel like the world treats you that way.
And that's what she would say to me. Yeah. I'm so glad that she was insightful to me about it.
I'm so happy you had a mom like that.
I am too. I love my mother. My mother's my favorite.
Yeah, I love your mom.
I love my mother. But my mother would tell me while she's crying, she's like, "Oh, Stephen, I'm so mad that I'm crying."
Yeah, you get mad. You're mad that you're crying, and then it makes you cry more because you're mad at crying. It's like such a stupid cycle. And there's only like 25% of people that feel like I've done research on it, like, because I have been ostracized and made to feel like that's like very like wrong, but like there's 25% of people that feel it that intensely, and we all get embarrassed. Like, I've been like in groups where we talk about it, and
that's what I mean. So
it's
like, that's the strongest woman I know.
Yeah.
And she, in her, you know, in the moments where she's trying to stand up for herself the most, she is crying the hardest, but that's not what she's trying to do.
No.
So her body's betraying her.
Exactly. That's what it feels like. It feels like your body is betraying you.
And you're so frustrated about that you're crying even more.
And you're trying to get your points across, but then people aren't taking you seriously.
And they laugh at you, and they make fun of that. And then that's just the argument now.
They're just using it to destroy your credibility because you're crying.
If you were ever, God forbid, on video or in a debate or something with somebody,
you look like
now you're just a crybaby. Yeah. Crybaby. And it's like, cool, we don't have to listen to their points anymore.
It's just dismissed.
We'll write them off.
Yeah.
It's fun that way, isn't it? In the social media landscape, especially, you just soundbite clip.
Or you're going to listen to the crying girl?
Exactly. And it's done. But that's the bullshit thing. Like, I can't wait to listen to arguments and to people. But
see, that's what I love about you. Like, I need a partner that, like, you can get to the meat of what they're trying to say. Like,
what do you mean? I can't wait to hear what you mean. What do you mean? And I want to know, like, because I love you. You're my favorite person in the whole wide world. I want to know what you mean so I can help, like, communicate this. Because, like, especially in the throes of the moment, you can't.
Yeah.
You literally can't. Yeah. Right? Even to me sometimes. Yeah. Like it takes like a couple minutes.
To gather the words and to articulate something out of my mouth.
Best way to answer this question is somebody going to listen to you? I swear to God.
And really strive to understand.
Understand. And to understand and have your
even
back.
Even if you still disagree.
Yeah.
To,
will they have your back enough to try to understand?
Because even when we're arguing about something, we both want to understand deeply.
I don't want to points.
No.
We're
not trying to win.
I'm not trying to win. Oh, I rallied up the score.
I just want to know, why do you think this way? What is the background? How do I understand, like, completely your point of view so that I can then tell you mine and we can meet somewhere and, like, understand each other?
I got a buddy. I love him to death. He's a friend of mine. He tells me an argument he got into with his wife. And the whole time he's just telling me bitchin' dunk points he made on his wife. And I was like, sounds like you just had a great time running up the score on your wife and you didn't really care what the fuck she thought.
Yeah.
And that, I put him in his head so hard, I could see the thought bouncing around inside of his skull because he didn't know what the fuck to say to that. Because it's like, hey, dude, congrats, dude. You played Madden on easy mode and, like, you got to just throw touchdowns to, like, Randy Moss the whole time. Like, all the way across the field. Good job. Like that's in your head, right? So your wife is sitting there not being listened to or heard from, and she just sees you going for a fucking Hail Mary on every throw instead of trying to listen to her.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, that's, and I put him in his head for that because
your wife should be on your O-line.
Yeah, dude. Well, no, you don't want your wife blocking. You don't want your wife blocking.
Okay. Your wife should be the special teams. You're on the same team.
Your wife should be the backup quarterback. She gets paid.
You're on the same team.
To know about football.
You know, who's winning our fantasy football league?
Yeah, you should be telling me.
12 guys.
You should be telling me. You should be telling me. disgusting. Disgust me. Your strategy disgusts me.
I'm 1 out of 12.
Your strategy and disgusts me.
I'm the champion right now. Like 2021.
How are the Packers doing this year?
Great. They're doing killing it every time.
How'd they do last year? How'd they do last week?
I love them.
What was the score?
I love that Aaron Rodgers.
What happened twice with Aaron Rodgers in the end zone?
He played some football.
It disgusts me how much you have been ignoring football and winning.
Yeah.
It disgusts me.
I've been playing a lot of poker.
I know.
I watch the games while I play.
I know.
But I'm like,
I know you still like football.
Yeah.
But you're distracted. But also,
yeah, I used to be a way hardcore fan. Like, we used to
We would watch games all day.
Yeah. But then, I don't know, like, During the pandemic, I was just like, there's a lot of noise and I'm interested in this new thing.
Yeah. New passion. So, it'll do that.
Anyway, that was a lot. Like, I feel like I could talk about this question forever. That was a great question.
It was a great question. That's why it was
we had other ones planned, but
that was a great question. Well, no, because look,
such a complex question.
Our audience is very analytical. That's why I really wanted to do this topic.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of folks in our audience who
like, how can I perfectly find the exact perfect soulmate? Like,
guess what, dude? It's not like that.
It's not so simple.
It's not. It's never going to be.
There's also like people that believe that love is just chemicals and like it fades with like it's like, biological that it's going to fade.
It's there because
after
you're supposed to attach yourself to somebody so you procreate.
It's not actually biologically right for us to be monogamous because love's a chemical and like you have to choose it and anyone that says different is lying. It's like, no, actually, no, we're not lying. Actually, there is a different way, but like you'll never know and it doesn't matter because if you truly believe that, you just won't find
and you're the guy who's like, all women just want my money, so like why would I do that? That's fucking stupid.
And it's like, maybe it's a protective like coping mechanism because you haven't found love yet, so you want to believe it's not real. But like we genuinely want everyone to feel,
I would love it,
and I think a lot of that has to do with opening your fucking mind. Like I think that you just seek to understand someone more than you want to like be
our boy Joe got there because of that.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
was open to it. Like that's the key, being open to it, not just thinking the cynical thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be with this person for 2 years, then it'll get stale.
And Jess has a new boyfriend.
There you
go. And like, I've never seen her so in love.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fucking love it. Exactly.
And describing to me, because she was the most cynical person. She's like, I'm never getting married. I hate going to weddings. I blah, blah, blah. Like, I just don't think I'll ever find it. It's not in the cards for me, blah, blah, blah. And then now she's with this guy. I've never heard her speak about someone like this before. She's like, everything you said was right. Like, I just never knew that it existed. Like, she's like, I can't believe it's real. Like, it's actually real. She got scared at first and maybe it wasn't real. And then trusting it more. And yeah, it's pretty cool to see. I really love seeing people find it.
I do too. If I could be an advocate for one thing, it's that.
Yeah.
Because we got that. And I thought the same cynical bullshit too. So
yeah. And most of it came, we were like, thank God we were there to break them up. Because I was like, you guys aren't supposed to be there.
Oh,
like,
fucking
please
exactly.
Don't settle. Don't settle for each other.
But JK fans thought that we did like for something.
No, like they were about to get married. Like, I'm like, please don't. Exactly. Please don't settle for each other. You guys you have nothing good to say about either of you have nothing good to say about the other one.
Exactly.
So.
But no, people are like, well, I don't know why, but Nikki and Steve are trying to break them up. It's like, oh my God, dude.
We're helping.
We're in the room, dude.
Yeah.
We know more than you do, bro. Just fucking give us this, please.
It's actually not healthy. Yeah, it's bad. Really unhealthy.
What they say about it is really bad.
Anyway, so thanks for listening. The camera cut out on Steve a long time ago. Yeah. And check out our Patreon. It really helps the show. We do a lot of fun stuff over there. And the Discord is awesome. We love our community. Love you guys. Shout out to you. And
check out Nikki's poker streams every Sunday night.
Twitch.tv/TrickNicks.
Every Sunday night?
Every Sunday, yes.
Yeah.
Except for if we're missing one, we do always do a makeup one. So
Times are TBD, but every Sunday.
Yeah.
Crypto Corner every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. PST. I'll see you guys on the next one. Deuces.
Peace.